glory to God, and what a privilege to be able to gather together as a family in the presence of Almighty God. Our greeting comes to us from the Psalms, and it's Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore, call on him as long as I live.
Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Please join me now on our call to worship. Jesus, you are Emmanuel, God who walked among us here.
You are inspiring hope, removing doubt and fear.
Your friends are gathered now, so come as you said.
Be known to us in the cup and the breaking of bread.
May we walk with you once more this evening.
May we walk with each other hand in hand with you until life's end.
Jesus, walk with us, not as servant nor as slave, but as friend.
Come, Lord Jesus, meet with us here in this place this evening.
Salvation from God's own holy word.
This evening's Old Testament reading is from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all of the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance."
Please join me now as we pray our prayer of confession, and please join me from the very beginning. Ever gracious God, we gather this evening as friends gathered with Jesus in an upper room long ago. We come bearing the marks of a bitter and broken world. We come from anonymous places with dry and thirsty spirits. Remind us in the breaking of the bread of our need and of your sufficiency. Refresh us and make us whole with the cup of forgiveness. Draw us nearer to each other in mutual service and closer to you in the covenant of faithfulness and thanksgiving. As the night advances, deepen in us a sense of your steadfast love for us in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Let us now confess our sins before Almighty God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory be to God.
Is this
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are now at the foot of the cross and looking at the price that you paid for our sins to restore that relationship and to give us eternal life. We say thank you. We pray your blessing, dear God, upon this offering, upon both gift and giver. And we pray, dear God, that you would allow the experience and the knowledge of the resurrection to be ours. The pain and the suffering that you went through, dear Lord, may we never forget the price that you paid. And we just say this in your precious name, and all of God's people say, amen.
We are one in the Spirit.
by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk with each head, we will walk.
Praise God, they will indeed know that we are Christians by our love. That's the one distinguishable, undeniably unique mark of a believer. They will know that we are Christians by our love. And I love, we began this hour of worship, this very special time where we gather in God's presence with, I love to tell the story. I do, and so do you. And what a special privilege. I don't know that there's a more important gift, a more valuable gift that we can give someone than to tell them about Jesus. I love to tell that story. And I have to say that it is a privilege to learn of other stories because God's love is unique. Did you ever know that? That like our DNA, like our fingerprint, like everything that is about us as an individual, that God's love is just exactly that unique, that it's a little bit different in each of us, all paid for by His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God. I love to go to places like the Rescue Mission on the north side and the Salvation Army and the prison. I had the opportunity about a year ago to go to the Allegheny County prison, the new prison, and it was an extraordinary experience. The whole time going in, I'm thinking about what God will be sharing with me to those men, but man, I've got to tell you, it was a powerful word that God shared from those men back to me. Thank you, dear God. We love to tell that story. This is a true story, This was a young man named Montel. And at this graduation for this program at the county jail, this was his poem, and this is what he said. Who would ever have knew that on the morning of my arrest would be the last time that I would see my mother alive before God took her home to rest? Who would have ever knew that my caring, loving, and beautiful mother would be taken away from me and my family by the hands of my little brother? Who would have ever knew that I would be abused as a child and that I would grow up and be wild and abuse drugs and do to all of the hurt and pain that I held inside? Who would have ever knew that I would hurt my family and my little cousin because of crack cocaine was my drug of choice and it turned me into somebody that I wasn't? Who would ever knew that my heart would cry more than the Lord's morning dew? But then I would hear a whisper coming from an angel saying to me that God loves you. Who would have ever knew that through all of the hurt, the pain, the anger, the frustration, that I would find God and He would become my salvation? Who would have ever knew that to have any type of structure in your life, you must first have hope to build your foundation? And that's the foundation of hope that I needed in my life to help me learn and correct my messed up situation. Who would have ever knew that I would write this poem? But it's really my true story, and I take credit for none of it. But I give God all of the praise and glory because He is the only one that has kept me safe and sane with all that I have been through. And He is the only one. Whoever would have knew. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Our stories, what God has done, what God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And on that night at the Last Supper, those disciples who had been with Him for over 3 years had seen the miracles, had seen all of the wondrous things that the Lord had done, and they still had no concept of God's love. I believe the key to being who God has called us to be is to understand what that love is all about. Montel learned about that while he was in prison. That's when he learned about the depths of God's love. I was 20 years old, grew up in the church, was baptized, confirmed, had catechism, all of the things, the youth group and all of the different things, but it was 20 years of age that I finally learned about the depths of God's love. The disciples, even after all of those experiences, all of the miracles that they would have seen, every time that they would have heard the word, the anointed word, preached. But it was on that night, on that Maundy Thursday, that they first caught a glimpse about the love of God that is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Some still attend church and go about life, call ourselves Christians, but still don't know the depth of that overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And as we gather here tonight, if you're in this sanctuary or the sanctuary of your home or your car, wherever your sanctuary is tonight, I pray that we can look at the events of this night and to make them our own. That we can literally be who God called us to be and catch a glimpse of that overwhelming, never-ending, reckless, agape love of Almighty God. Our gospel reading tonight comes to us from the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. Please listen now as I read this precious scripture. It was just before Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you're going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet, Lord." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly, I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." And then he says these powerful words that are the essence of our message this evening. "A new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now, what he was saying to them, rather unbelievable statement, "A new commandment I give to you." Well, what was new about love? Jesus had been speaking of love from the beginning of gathering the disciples. As he was calling the brothers out of the boat with their father, he said to them, and he taught them, and he lived, and he demonstrated this love. And then when he got the tax collector, the little Mochis of Capernaum, Matthew, he said to him, you know, come, and he told the brothers that they would be fishers of men, and he called to all of these different people, and in every instance, he called them with love. So now, on his day before the crucifixion, on his last day, his last exchange in many ways with his disciples, he says to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." What made it new was because you have loved like you're capable of loving. But now I'm going to die and redeem you. And now I want you to love to that same degree. That's what makes this new. And that's why he said to them, "This new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, by this you will tell the world and show the world that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Thank you, dear God. So understanding God's love is everything. As we stand here literally at the foot of the cross of Jesus tonight, may we open our hearts and our minds. May God speak to us about the truth of his love. As we look at this very powerful scripture, I believe that there are three keys to understanding God's love. Number one is that God's love atones for our sins. We have this wonderful passage Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and he said, "But God demonstrates his perfect love for us when And while we were yet sinners, that he sent his son to die for us. Now, I want you to look at the tense of that third word, demonstrate. It's not demonstrated. It doesn't mean that when Jesus died on the cross, he demonstrated his perfect love for us, but he continues to demonstrate it. He's demonstrating that love right here in this sanctuary tonight. It is present tense. I love to tell the story. That miracle is still happening. That miracle, that truth is still changing lives. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. We have a story to tell. We have good news to share. They will know we are Christians by our love. And we know too, and this is from the Old Testament, that great is the faithfulness of God. His love and his mercies are new every morning. Every moment, every hour, every day, God's mercies are new in our lives. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. The second way in which we can understand, second key in understanding this overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of Almighty God is that he clearly defines who he is. That's his love, clearly defines who he is. That love is unmistakable. It is unique throughout the history of mankind. The love of God that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. We read this, and this is a psalm of David. This is Psalm 86. And this was a psalm of David at a very challenging time in his life. But he was affirming who God is. I'm not faithful. I make mistakes. I mess up big time. But dear God, you are always faithful. And he says, but you, O Lord, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Thank you, dear God. And may we affirm those words. May we affirm that here tonight. Great is the faithfulness of understanding who God is. Great are his mercies, and they are new every morning. I told you that I love to hear others' stories. I love to hear how the unique way that someone touched someone else's life. And I remember hearing one of our faith and family pastors, a pastor of a mega church up in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, a mega church. Probably 10,000 people that God blesses that ministry to minister to on a Sunday morning. And I remember him telling the story that he came home from college and he was far away at that time from any relationship with God. His mother was Catholic and had just recently gone to a new church, a different, obviously different denomination, and had gone to this new church. And so when he came back, and he came back on the weekend, and you know how that is if you were in college, and you'd come back and it was a nice place that you could get fed, you'd get your clothes done, and you'd get a little spending money. And he said, I was 3 for 3. But he said, my mom, before I could leave back for college, he said, my mom asked if I would go to church with her in the morning, and I thought I would. And he said, after the service, he said, I wasn't really moved by it, you know, it didn't really, I just had other things on my mind. And he said, but my mother asked me, would you please go up and see Pastor and just acknowledge that you were here today because he prays for you. And so he thought that was kind of corny, but he goes up to the pastor and he says, look, I just wanted to come over and say hello. I'm her son. And she said, did you pray for me? You know, thank you. But, you know, and he was disrespectful. And he said, I asked him a kind of an open-ended question. Do you really believe what you just shared here this morning? And he said to him, son, I really do. And then he looked at him and he said, son, you have no idea how much God loves you. You have no idea how much God loves you. And he said, it just cut me right through the heart. He said, I could have cried. Because he said, I was just trying to be a smart aleck kid and just ask him one of those unanswerable questions. And he said, he cut me right to the quick. When he said, you have no idea how much God loves you. And you know that pastor was right, he goes on to say. And that was literally the catalyst for a change in paradigm in my mind. And that's when I began to think toward God and the price that he paid for me. And how now God uses that man and his wife and that ministry to reach tens of thousands of people. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. What a beautiful story. And I think we're guilty of that many times ourselves. We have no idea about the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God. Number three, God's love empowers us to love one another. You remember the expression, "Your love completes me"? Well, that's literally what this is about. The full circle of God's love is when it comes back around, is when we're able to love each other. That's exactly what our New Testament scripture, what the gospel from John was all about in this message. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is a passage from 1 John, and it says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Completing that circle. God giving us his agape love and demonstrating that perfect love in that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to pay a price that we could never pay. And as Jesus died on that cross, I believe with all of my heart that he knew us by name. Lucy had a wonderful devotion this morning, and it really touched us both. And the essence of it was telling that one person of God's love. It was a beautiful, beautiful, and that's exactly what this is. When we share that love is made complete. That love goes full circle, and it is the perfect love of Almighty God. Thank you, dear God. I have one final story. I love to tell the story, and I love to tell other stories about him as well. This is another pastor. And another unbelievable story. He would be about my age, and he was a drug runner in Beaver County for a number of years. He was caught, and he would run drugs from Chicago. I think he would pick up the drugs in Chicago and then bring them back to Beaver County. And he was arrested, and he must have been heavy duty because he was sentenced to over 30 years in prison. Over 30 years in prison, so that's hard time. And he was not incarcerated in Illinois. He was actually had to be incarcerated in Kentucky because there were so many. The prisons were filled in Illinois, and so they literally had to farm out to the next state over, and he served his time in Kentucky. And I remember him telling me that he was a bad dude. He said, "I scared myself." He said, honestly, he said, "There was no limit as to what I would do." He said, "I carried two guns and two knives," and he said, "I knew how to use them." And he said, "I scared myself." And so, not surprisingly, in this prison, this maximum security prison that he was in Kentucky, he was at the end of the hall. He had no family to speak of, didn't really know his father, had no brothers or sisters, knew of his mother, but really had no relationship with her, and was out of the house as a young teenager. And so he was there in Kentucky, basically all alone. And he told me the story about how this one particular time, he would occasionally hear the elevator open or the doors opening, and then someone walking down that hall, but they would always end short. He could hear the steps on the cement, but it would always end short of his cell at the end of the hall. But he said on this particular day, and I think he said that it was a Sunday morning, that there were steps, and they continued. He continued to hear them. And he said, I knew that the person was near where my door was. And he described this small, diminutive, and stature man as Don Knotts, if you know Barney Fife, and just had kind of a high-pitched, squeaky voice. And he said, I didn't even want to really look at him, but he said, I turned around, just kind of glanced out of the corner of my eye, and he said, this little guy, he said, sticks his arm inside my cell. He violates where the bars are, and he said, he sticks his hand inside the cell, and he points at me, and he says, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And he said, that man has no idea how lucky he is. If I'd have been over there, I'd have ripped his arm off and beat him over the head with it. He said, it made me mad. But when I saw that, he said, I just turned away. He said, I wouldn't even acknowledge that he was there. And so the man said, I have a gift for you, and I'll leave it here. And he said, I wouldn't give him the courtesy to look, to acknowledge that he was there or anything. He said, when that man left and I knew that he was gone, that he was down the hall, he said, I went over to see what this gift was. And he said, it was the worst gift that I had ever gotten in my life. It was a calendar. It was from the Gideon Society. This man was a Gideon. And it had scripture in it, and it was a little calendar for the year. And he said, I say it was the worst gift I'd ever gotten in my life because he said, I was going to be in for 33, 34, 35 of these. I was going to be in this hole, in this cell. And he said, I didn't want to be reminded of the time. So he said, it was the worst gift that I'd ever gotten. But he said, that man came back because I looked at that, and he said, I read something that I never knew before. He said, I never heard that word love. No one ever in my life, and to me, that's hard to believe. That's an unbelievable part of Bill's story, is that no one ever said to him, his mother, he didn't have family, no one ever saw, I love you, man. I love you. God loves you. He never knew that. And he said, but I read in there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He said, I had no clue what that meant. And when that man came back, he said, I asked him about that. How do you know God loves me? And he said, that man witnessed to me boldly. He said, I was twice his size, but he witnessed boldly to me. He said, he was like a lion, and he didn't step back. He didn't go back on his heels. And he just told me how he knew that God had a plan for my life. That man changed my life with that truth. He said, it changed my paradigm. And he said, I was able to, I think he only had to serve about 7 or 8 of the 33, 34, 35 years that he was supposed to. Because of good behavior, he became a model prisoner. Obviously, it changed everything about him. That man and his wife stood with him because Bill had a calling to ministry, and they stood with him, and he lived with that couple as he was attending seminary. He's now has a wonderful, wonderful fellowship in Rochester. And what's interesting is their van goes out on a Sunday morning and he picks up the very people that he was. The drugs and the drug dealers and the prostitutes and the homeless and all of the different people. And their van makes runs early on a Sunday morning to gather up people that the devil has thrown away, people that don't have any hope, people that don't have anything to look toward. And they pick them up in this van and they bring them to church where they can be loved. They bring them to church where they can gather in God's presence. And what I just blows me away is on the side of that van, Lucy's seen it, on the side of the van that they pick them up, it says, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Thank you, dear God, that in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our disobedience, in spite of our sin, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our denying you, in spite of our betraying you, in spite of our turning our backs on you, you went to that cross and you died for me. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. And we know that it is true. That not our circumstance, not our position in the world, not our rebellion, not our sin, nothing can separate us from you. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Praise you, dear God, for a love that we can barely begin to understand. Join me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God. Who are we that you would love us so much? Who are we that you would pay a price that we could never pay? That you would do what we could never do to set us free. Thank you, dear God. And Lord, we just pray your blessing in this sanctuary tonight, in that sanctuary, in the sanctuary of people's homes, anyone that is watching this or listening to this. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Father. And Father, we just pray that in this storyline, as you leave that room where you've gathered with the disciples and you go out now into the garden, help us, dear God, that we won't fall asleep. Help us, dear God, that we'll keep our eyes affixed to you, that you will do the miraculous in us. And it is in the precious name of our Lord and Savior that we say thank you, dear God. Amen and amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
And now may this precious love of God the Father poured out through his Son be with us now, each and every heart, this moment, this hour, this day, and forevermore. And all of God's people say, amen.
Amen.